From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippine Islands, 7,107 of them, I bid you good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be in all those time zones, covered ever so well by this program, Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and with the Mayan volcano to the south of me ready to blow its top, we'll first take a look at the news, and the news around the world is certainly not good, and it's going to lend itself very well to tonight's guest in the next hour, Howard Bloom. This hour, we are going to do open lines, and I will get as many of them as I can in during the hour. However, the world news, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being bad, this rounds out neatly at about 8, maybe 8 and one half. Israeli warplanes pound Beirut suburbs. This whole thing is in the process of a gigantic escalation right now. A defiant Hezbollah pounded northern Israel with rockets Sunday after rejecting U.S.-French truce proposals, killing at least 15. Israel also struck hard, killing at least 14 in Lebanon, as both the sides tried to take advantage of days, before a UN resolution is to be put to a vote. But I don't think it's going to end anything, and I don't think anybody thinks it will. At daybreak Monday, Israeli warplanes pounded Beirut's southern suburbs with 8 airstrikes, stepping up bombardment of the Hezbollah stronghold. It was not immediately clear what was targeted. And in a fuel-starved, heat-rich country, this is certainly not good news. Major Alaskan oil field shutting down. Anchorage, in a sudden blow to the nation's oil supply, we really need that, right? Half the production on Alaska's North Slope was being shut down Sunday after BP Exploration Alaska Inc. discovered, get this, severe corrosion in a Prudhoe Bay oil transit line. BP officials said they didn't know how long the Prudhoe Bay field would be offline. They didn't even know how long it's going to take to shut it down. So at a moment that we really, really need the oil, we're now going to have a little less of it, or significantly less of it. Cuba's vice president said Sunday Fidel Castro indeed is going to return to work in just a few weeks after intestinal surgery that forced him to hand over power, at least temporarily, to his younger brother. Fidel's going to be around for another 80 years, said the vice president. Rather unlikely, unless Fidel has found that magic water. 3 U.S. soldiers have been killed in Iraq bombing. Fighting erupted early Monday in a Shiite militia stronghold of Baghdad, and a suicide bomber blew himself up among mourners at a funeral in Saddam Hussein's hometown that killed 10, injured 22. 3 U.S. soldiers were killed late Sunday in a roadside bombing southwest of Baghdad. At home, the news is not much better. Phoenix. Police there say the gunman took turns as they drove around the city of Phoenix. Some nights it was Samuel John Dietman, a burly electrician with a ragged mop of jet black hair. According to court documents, he'd blast at lone pedestrians, randomly this is, from the window of a silver a Toyota Camry, in what he called random recreational violence. That's an exact quote, random recreational violence. Other nights, the trigger was pulled by his roommate, Dale S. Hasner, a baby-faced janitor and freelance photographer, again, according to court documents. The 9/11 conspiracy business has hit the Associated Press mainstream news, and we'll ask, we're certainly going to ask Howard Bloom about this. Kevin Barrett believes the U.S. government might have destroyed the World Trade Center. Stephen Jones is researching what he calls evidence that the Twin Towers were brought down by explosives detonated inside them and not by hijacked airliners. These men aren't uneducated junk scientists. Barrett will teach a class on Islam at the University of Wisconsin this fall over the protests of more than 60 state legislators. Jones is a tenured physicist at Brigham Young University, whose mainstream academic job has made him a hero to conspiracy people. And I know there certainly are many out there. We'll ask Howard Bloom about this tonight. In a moment, The rest of the news. As I mentioned to many of you, I think yesterday, I'm suffering through a cold here. I think my fourth since arriving in the Philippines, so bear with me. And speaking of the Philippines, the Mayan volcano, which is to the south of me, well to the south of me, by the way, is indicating now that it is ripe for a full-blown eruption. The Philippine Institute of Volcanology and Seismology reported that the advancing lava flow now is estimated to have reached 450 meters elevation, while the length of the main lava flow is about 4.5 aerial kilometers from the summit crater. It certainly is very impressive. I get to see pictures of it every day. And it's tossing stuff a good half mile into the air and threatens to do a whole lot more. So it looks like we're going to have a big eruption on this side of the Ring of Fire. Now, I want to take a moment and remind everybody that we've got a free StreamLink weekend underway. Now, that means that between now and Monday morning at 6 o'clock, you can listen to the show live. Right now, along with several other things, you can listen to the show absolutely live and absolutely for free. It's just a way to introduce you to a better way to listen. And by the way, if you haven't done it, my favorite way to listen, really, is to get it going on the computer and then get something like the Sea Crane transmitter, hook it up to your computer, find an empty FM channel, and then you can broadcast this program kind of throughout your house, throughout your apartment, whatever. And you can take a radio and just tune to an empty FM channel and listen to the show as you walk around with a portable. It really is pretty handy, I'll tell you. Global warming. I guess I want to take a second and ask you to go to the website, coasttocoastam.com. There is something up there that is almost beyond alarming. It's an ABC News story that they were kind enough to get up for this show. That I think none of you can afford to miss. Among other things, it shows you what's going to happen to the world as what has been predicted, which is certainly coming true in spades right now, and what is predicted will continue. Now, this will affect your children. In fact, this will affect you, actually. It will affect your children to a greater degree, but it certainly will affect you. 70% of the American public now says yes. Global warming is, in fact, a problem. 58% of the people say the government is just simply not doing enough. In fact, at the end of the piece, you will see the ever-conservative doubter, Pat Robertson, openly, publicly, and finally admit that he was wrong and that global warming is absolutely real and that man's hand absolutely has something to do with it. So it's right on the front page. You can't miss it. ABC News, you've got to have a little program to run it, and that program is available free of charge, the QuickTime program. So go watch that report. It also covers the methane bubbles that are beginning to come up out of the ocean. Very, very worrisome, because they will contribute, as I've said in other shows, and by the way, some of my guests said, no. Methane is not going to be a problem. Well, when it begins bubbling up from the bottom of the ocean, it damn well is going to be a problem. It's going to add to global warming. And I just can't urge you enough to go to www.coasttocoastam.com and let this report run. Take it in. Now, that's something to worry about, and of course what's going on in the world is, too. A handful of money scams uncovered across the United States in recent years, bearing Hezbollah's fingerprints, have quite a few experts worried that if orders were given to launch a major attack against the U.S., the means are now in place to do so. The FBI has made Hezbollah a central target of its counterterrorism effort, setting up a unit dedicated to tracking the group and assigning agents to develop sources in Lebanese and other Middle Eastern communities across the country. Security officials worry that if Hezbollah does one day decide to strike, it can exploit an already existing network in America. Who's getting hurt in the current heat wave? Well, as always, the elderly, the young. A lot of people living alone, of course, died during the July 1995 heat wave. During several days that week, temperature actually was over 100. Heat index on July 13th of 126. Now, as you look at the ABC story, you're going to see that each year in the last 5 years has been hotter and has made records hotter than that is to say, than the last. Highest temperature ever recorded anywhere on Earth was in Libya. That was in September of 1922 at 136 degrees Fahrenheit, can you imagine? Highest temp in the U.S., Death Valley, California, 134 degrees. And while all of this is going on, as you probably begin to peruse that ABC story that you really, really need to see, how's this one from Woodley Strieber's Unknown Country? Headline, Congressman vows to fight global warming bill. House Majority Whip Roy Blunt, a Republican from Missouri, says he's going to make sure that the 110th Congress will not address the climate problem. Good going, Congressman. He offered as his reason that the information is not adequate, despite the fact that as long ago as 2001, over 1,000 climate experts, that's 1,000 climate experts, published a report stating that, quote, there is new and stronger evidence that most of the warming observed over the last 50 years is directly attributable to human activities. ThinkProgress.org reports that 61 members of Congress, Republicans and Democrats alike, are co-sponsoring Henry Waxman's Safe Climate Act that would mandate the creation of an official response to the climate problem. So in the middle of all this news, here we have a congressman deciding that we don't need a bill on global warming. We just don't need it. And I, by the way, I've been neglecting to mention this, but let me read this from James in Newberry Park, California. Hey, Art, I just had to convey to you my excitement as I recently have been playing the new game Prey. That's P-R-E-Y. And lo and behold, I heard you in a series of radio broadcast segments aboard the Alien Sphere ship. I called out to my wife, Jen, it's Art. He's in a video game. Your radio shorts were a spectacular addition to an extraordinary game. Yes, it's true. I've been getting a million emails about this, so I guess Prey is getting out there pretty well at the moment. Prey is a new video game, and before I left the U.S., I did do the voice tracks for the video game Prey. All right, let's turn and begin to take some calls from around the country. I really like that ABC segment, and I just, please, I cannot urge you enough, if you're anywhere near a computer at all, you've got to go to coasttocoastam.com, and you've got to see that report. You simply have got to see it. Wildcard Line, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is Gina.
Hello there. Yes, Gina, extinguish your radio for me, please.
Okay. First-time caller.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just have a question about reincarnation, and I also have a lot of reoccurring dreams.
All right. Well, and I have let's have the question on reincarnation.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling that maybe reincarnation isn't real, and that when we have a lot of reoccurring dreams, we're picking up on DNA in our relatives' memories. From our past relatives' lives.
Okay, well, that may be so. Gina, I would say this to you. Do a little research, and you'll find the council at Nicaea actually eliminated... Reincarnation used to be in the Bible.
Yeah.
And they took it out of the Bible.
Oh.
And, you know, that worries me.
Yeah, because my dad believes in reincarnation, but I don't, because mm-hmm. I have a lot of reoccurring dreams that come true. Like, my first one was when I was 17, and I had a dream of a car accident hitting a truck with a bunch of teenagers in the back. And then about a month later, that happened. My husband and I dreamed...
Well, why does that... Okay, wait, let me stop you. Why does that... how does that take away from any belief you might have had in reincarnation?
Okay, well, I've had so many dreams in my life that have come true. But
yes.
I also have a reoccurring dream of an Indian girl in war times running for her life, and she's doesn't really have anywhere to stay, so she finds a treehouse that was a white person's, and she's not supposed to sleep up there because she might be mistaken for a white person during wartime.
Well, how do you know you were not that Indian girl?
Well, I don't know that. I just have this dream over and over that she gets caught in the treehouse and she gets killed by three
Okay,
others.
But you said your dreams lead you away from the theory of reincarnation. Why?
I just feel like we only have one life, and how can we have all these lives? I don't understand it. I think maybe we're picking up on our relatives' lives.
That could be. It could be that there is some memory in DNA. It could well be. I tend toward believing in reincarnation. I wonder about why. Why do we if we reincarnate and we have no conscious memory of that previous incarnation, then how are we to become the more perfect beings that the entire concept of reincarnation would seem to suggest we're trying to become, right? If reincarnation is a constant sort of school, and you're going up in grade levels, trying to get to the point where you graduate and become a, in quotes, perfect person, then with no conscious memory of what came previously, I just don't know how that's achieved. But that's, I guess, one of the great mysteries, huh? On the east of the Rockies line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah. First off, I want to tell you, I seen that show, Dear Like Me, She Dislike Real Good.
Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from, sir?
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I missed your question.
I said, I seen that show, Did You Like Real Good, Dead Like Me.
Oh, Dead Like Me.
Yeah.
Dead Like Me, I guess, is being carried on the Sci-Fi channel. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's yeah, so those show. Who missed it originally can now catch it.
It's the old thing today.
It's absolutely a spectacular program. I decry the fact that it was canceled, and it was canceled in the second season. Now, I've got something I want to say about this that I guess I did previously say this, at least on one occasion. I thought, no, I didn't, come to think of it, publicly. I actually talked to the producers and, of course, some of the... I talked to the young actress who plays part of the young lady in Dead Like Me. And that, of course, when it was still running and in its second year. Now, for those of you able to watch the show on the Sci-Fi channel, I want you to observe something, and that is that the first year was absolutely spectacular. My God, the first year was great. But in the second year, there was a noticeable change in the writing, the production. Something changed. And I mentioned this to one of the producers of Dead Like Me, and there was this long silence on the line. And so apparently what happened is the person who had been writing or producing whatever left, and they changed the direction of the show in the second season. Now, that's something I think you'll see. The first season, though, was simply pristine and wonderful, and I highly recommend it to you if it's running on Sci-Fi. Take a look. It's called Dead Like Me. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art. How you doing?
Just fine, sir.
My name is Bill. I'm in Payson, Arizona. And we used to call you when we lived up in Reno, my wife and I, 6 months ago. And I wanted to tell you, down here in Payson, they have a fan club. It's called the Art Bell Discussion Group. It meets once a month from 2 to 4 at the public library.
And what, pray tell, do you talk about?
Well, I haven't been to it yet, but I'm going to send you a letter. And we don't have a computer, but I'm going to fax it to your screener in L.A., and then I'll call her, and then she can tell me how to get it to you. But they were talking about your move overseas, you know, to Manila.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, not every talk show host picks up and goes to the other side of the world and then keeps talking.
No, because I know you still miss this desert dust from back here. Sometimes you do.
Well,
a little bit.
Listen, I miss the desert. Yeah. I don't miss the desert dust.
Okay. Art, just one last thing I wanted to ask you. Do you have a local station over there like you did in Pahrump when you were on the air?
No, I absolutely do not. I do not broadcast in the Philippines.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. And do you still own your FM station in Pahrump?
I absolutely do, and it's raging away, doing a wonderful job in Pahrump. All right, everybody, we're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. We're in open lines. Anything you want to talk about is absolutely fair game. So, from Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Jamie from Richmond, BC, Canada, went to the website, watched what I suggested from ABC, and says, hey, Art, just saw the video you spoke of earlier. I'm convinced. All of you need to go take a look at that. It'll scare the hell out of you, and it should scare the hell out of you. And when you see headlines like a congressman wants to make darn sure that a global warming bill does not make it through, I just don't know what to say. We'll be right back. Incidentally, I want to thank all of you who have, and I'm convinced, I've had enough emails and enough people have talked to me about Esther C. that following today's program, I'm going out to our local market, which, interestingly here, is called Market Market. It's a gigantic mall. Oh, incidentally, there's a new mall open here in Manila called the Mall of Asia, which I think is one of the largest malls in Asia. It's absolutely astoundingly big. It's so big that, well, frankly, it's difficult to find your way around. It's just sort of a maze. It's just store after store after store after store. But it is astounding. So I think you can probably look up on the net and see a picture of Market Market, a single picture somebody put up there. And then there's the picture of the Mall of Asia, which has just literally been built. So I'm going to go out and buy some Esther C, a lot of Esther C, and see if I can't rid myself of this godforsaken cold. Now, there's something else apparently going on in Alaska. Let's go, let's see, let's go here and say hello. Are you in Alaska by any chance?
Yes. Hello, Art.
Hi.
My name is Rose, and I'm calling from Kenai, Alaska.
Okay.
There was a big fire in my village where I'm from. There's 1,300 people, Yupik Eskimos, that live there. I know you lived in Anchorage, Alaska at one time.
Oh, I did, and as a matter of fact, I've been to Kenai, so I know Kenai quite well, hon. And how many have been made homeless?
Oh, about 70 people, a little bit over. They lost everything from pots and pans, their winter food, clothes, absolutely nothing left. Their guns, their snow machines. And I was calling to appeal to your listeners for help for donations. They don't have their homes completely burnt down. The school
Well, in order
down.
In order for people to make donations, on there has to be something official and safe set up. So the way
yes.
you would do that would be to contact our producers once that is done and you have a place where help can be sent. I'm very, very, very sorry to hear that. And that's a very serious situation, of course, in Alaska or anywhere else. And, of course, also we've got the news this day of just about half of the production of Prudhoe Bay in Alaska being cut off because of any erosion, I guess, on one of the pipelines. Now, they didn't indicate there had been any spill, but this is a developing story, so I guess we'll have to see. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Jared, how are you?
I'm okay, sir. Where are you?
My name is Ron. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Hey, Ron.
Long-time listener. Enjoy your show very much. I also enjoy your webcam shots. I appreciate those.
The current one is of myself. Abby Dose, who has grown to be a monster of a baby. He's only 9 months old. And, of course, Yeti.
Uh-huh. I'd like to make a proposal if I could.
I'm listening.
My wife is ill, and she's got cancer that might be very dangerous to her health. It's serious. It is serious. And I know you don't like doing mass consciousness experiments, but I'd sort of like to put it out there for the Coast Flip.
Okay, well, I don't do mass consciousness experiments. We do prayer, of course.
Well, that would be fine.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
what I was going to do was I was going to try to call Dean Radin and see if there's any blips on his screen whenever you you know we talk about this and see if there is not something that is revealed in his eggs, you know, the generators, the number generators.
Well, you know, you can watch the eggs yourself. Have you tried?
No, I will. How do I do that?
All right. Here's the way you do it. You go to Google, the ever-faithful Google, and just put in Princeton space eggs or Princeton Space Consciousness Project. And either one of those two will get you there. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Art.
Yes.
Hello, this is Carmine Toronto. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir.
I'm going to make a pretty bold claim here. I have a mathematical proof that we can generate power without burning anything and without actually inputting any energy at all. And they basically teach us all we need to know in high school, except for, of course, putting some of these pieces together, like very simple equations. You're a ratepayer. People that consume hydro know that they're billed for kilowatt hours. So basically, energy is power times time, right? Pretty simple. Would you concede that?
You mean power times the amount of time you use that much power?
Correct. Power over time is your energy consumption, right? All right, so that's one established relationship between energy and power and time. Einstein gave us energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. That's the second equation that I submit. The third equation is Newton, force equals mass times acceleration. This is all very simple high school level math and physics.
Oh, okay, and so how would this power be generated specifically?
Well, there's various designs, many designs, but this
give me one.
Bismuth rotary engine, a Wankel rotary engine, a Takahashi motor, basically closed loop systems that power themselves.
No, they don't. The Wankel engine is a good engine, but it does not power itself.
No, there's a variation, electromagnetic Wankel, that can be configured to power itself. But
actually, sir, let me fill you in on something. There's nothing eternally producing energy as far as the Wankel engine is concerned. However, I wonder how many of you, I did own a car that had a Wankel engine in it. And it was very interesting because it did produce a very large electromagnetic field. Now, you ask, how would I know that? Well, I was always a fan of taking a compass and putting it right up on the dashboard. I loved to have a compass in my car. And when I had the Wankel engine, I began to notice that my compass was, after just a very few days, permanently and forever pointing toward the engine. In other words, it made no difference whatsoever where the car was pointed. After a few days of use, the compass was permanently magnetized toward the engine. Now, I don't know if the Wankel engine has any use in terms of energy. In other words, it would just keep going and going and going and going with no input. It certainly required gasoline, as do other internal combustion engines. It was a very interesting engine. It was very smooth. It was fairly efficient, and it produced one hell of a magnetic field, electromagnetic. Now, actually, just magnetic, I think. I never took the time and trouble to find out if it was electromagnetic, but certainly it was magnetic and extremely strong. To magnetize a compass like that, and it did it not once, but several times, and I finally gave up even trying to have a compass in a Wankel engine car. I wonder if anybody else out there experienced that, and I wonder what it means. On yet another Wildcard Line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art, how you doing tonight?
Just fine, sir.
Oh, that's good. My question, or not my question, but my theory, we all are getting really sick and tired of the moon debunk promoters out there.
Yeah, and I'm kind of tired of it, too.
I kind of like to use their own so-called evidence against them. And they always complain about the shadows going in different directions. Well, the other night, your buddy Mr. Hoagland was on talking about the ancient glass structures on the moon. Let me run this theory by you. Say you got a very large glass, or crystal structure. And then you got this big old bright sun out there, and the crystal structure is cut like into facets. Well, if the sun is coming through there, and when it hits those various facets, deflecting light...
It should produce a big rainbow effect.
Yeah, and what if it is, say, deflecting light in those different facets, and when it hits different objects, it's throwing shadows in different directions. At the same time, there's another big glass structure.
Stop for just a second. Once again, think about what I said. If what you just said is true, and they are there, and they're prism-like, they would produce various colors. In other words, as the sun went through and was reflected in different directions, you'd get a rainbow of color type effect, wouldn't you?
If it had an atmosphere like we do on Earth. But if it does not have an atmosphere, then those different elements wouldn't show up in the colors. I don't believe.
I'm going to have to think about that one.
Okay. And as I'd like to continue, say on the other side, way over here to the right, out of range of the camera, there's another big glass structure that has more or less a mirror effect. And if the sun is hitting that and bouncing that sunlight back the other way, shooting shadows in the opposite direction, is there a chance that that theory would prove why shadows are going in different directions because it's bouncing off the structures up on the moon?
I really cannot comment on that. I don't, I'm not sure, but the more I think about it, the more I think that I'm correct with regard to the various colors that would be displayed, not certainly in a lack of atmosphere, but they would hit the ground, those colors. In other words, as the sun passed through a crystalline type structure, there would be various colors displayed on, what, moon dust, I guess? In this case, it would be moon dust, right? All right. Let's go here and say hello. You're on the air on Coast to Coast.
The love of the Lord is upon you again, Mr. Bell. Hail,
oh, good Lord.
Stacy Webster, the third God's 10-star general in the war against media pornography. And I'm calling tonight to, I don't know why you are not defending the bravest man in Hollywood tonight who is taking a stand for Christians everywhere and is being persecuted because he is a Christian. Mel Gibson, they framed him. They're persecuting him because he made the most beautiful movie ever, The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, well, The Passion of the Christ was indeed a beautiful movie. They're not persecuting him because
yes,
of that.
They are
upset with him over the remarks made during his arrest.
Well, he has freedom of speech, and I don't think he told one lie while he was being arrested.
Well, hey, buddy, you've got freedom of speech, too, and you abuse it all the time.
I do not. How dare you?
You do so.
Was I not correct about global warming? Now the methane bubbles are bubbling up from the boiling pits of sewage. The bubbling up, and now...
You never called that global warming. You were talking about the pits of sewage in hell. You never connected that to global warming. Don't be twisting words, J.C. Come on. Don't be twisting words, J.C. Come on.
Sir, we know that these methane bubbles are coming from the center of hell, directly from hell where all the dirty pornographers are. I want to talk about Mel Gibson, who has the courage to make Christian movies about Jesus. He won't make the filth that Hollywood wants. They want these movies with gay cowboys that give them Academy Awards. And now that movie has forever... It was a direct attack on the American icon, a direct attack on America itself because the image of the cowboy is America.
And if there's any attack that's been made on Mel Gibson, he brought it on himself. He brought it on himself.
Mel Gibson?
Yes.
He's a hero. He didn't tell a lie, did he?
Well, the heroic thing that he may have done, Jay-Z, is to have made an actual apology. Instead of saying, I apologize to those that I may have offended, he made an actual apology.
Now they're making up apologies for him. He shouldn't be apologizing. He should be standing up before us and proclaiming his righteousness and his truthfulness. Why is it that
Well, in that case, you must be upset with him. Then you, J.C., slow down. You must be very upset with him. In view of the sincere apology, and most people do view it that way, that he made, I would think you'd be very upset with him.
I'd be upset with him if he's turning tail and running from the truth of his original words.
Well, how else would you interpret...
In collusion with the Canadians.
J.C.
And the homosexuals. Yes, sir?
Yeah, cool your methane for a moment. How else would you interpret his sincere apology?
I would say that it's a fake, that he's not apologizing, and that they framed him in the first place. Wasn't the offending officer one of those New World bankers that arrested him and framed him, and they were stalking him, and they're trying to get payback because he made a Christian movie that told
a
the
New
truth
World
about what they did
banker?
To Jesus.
A New World banker? Yes. Cops, most cops don't make a whole lot of money, and I doubt he was a New World banker.
We're talking about the Jews, and listen, they didn't. When you deny their so-called Holocaust, they get offended. But every day they deny the Holocaust of Jesus and get away with it. How dare them?
Well, how? You're not telling me you deny the Holocaust, are you?
It's a dubious question.
It's a dubious question.
Holocaust. How do we know? Were you there? Did you see any of it?
I don't know. You're a Holocaust on a line.
Excuse me?
Yourself.
How dare you?
I absolutely dare.
You insult hate me constantly, Mr. Bell, and all I'm trying to do is bring love forth.
You're trying to bring love forth?
Love forth? Yes. Because I'm trying to save America.
You are, huh?
Yes. From the dirty pornographers, and you're talking about the food porn is just pouring out of the TV sets, and you got George North talking about his prostate problems. How's that helping people in America?
I don't know. I suppose the people with prostate problems are helped.
It's disgusting and in poor taste.
It's disgusting? You just made a new word, JC. Disgusting. Disgusting?
I'm trying to make a point about how Hollywood is ruining the image of America. I like to dress in the country and western style, and I wear a cowboy hat. And now I can't go to the tax store without worrying about someone looking at me thinking I might be a homosexual because they have those movies about gay cowboys.
Yeah, I saw that movie. I wasn't particularly impressed.
How did you watch that? That was a direct attack by a Taiwanese communist with Canadian actors where they filmed it in Canada. It makes sense. Where the queers run wild.
Oh, JC, how can you be so full of hate?
I am not full of hate. I am full of love because I'm watching.
You are
America
full of hate, JC. It comes
lesbian,
spewing forth from your lips like the methane out of the ocean bottom.
I just want love and purity to come back to America. I'm saying your listeners were so disgusting they turned Edna against me. She's on the run with a biker.
Wait. Edna has left you for a biker?
You didn't know that she fled the compound with $10,000 of the Lord's money? Yes.
What? No, wait a minute. The Lord's money?
Yes.
It sounds a lot like you're claiming...
Well, the Lord and we work together.
The Lord and you work together?
People question the new revelation. Let me tell you. What do you think
Edna's doing?
Well, I think she's doing pornographization, for one thing. I don't know.
How carefully, JC, did you screen Edna before you, got together with her? Let's find out. Were you and Edna actually married?
You dare to incline such things if you only knew what you were insinuating.
Were you actually married, JC, or were you living in a state of sin?
No, not sin. How dare you? You know I am so sinless. You know I'm the most pure and righteous man on the entire planet. I'm not in a state of sin. And my original wife, who left me, who tried to get a divorce for I don't know why.
Your original wife, JC? Your original wife?
Listen, Grandma Webster is burning in the boiling pits of sewage because she used to watch out Liberace. And so I have a vested stake in keeping homosexuals off our TV and pornographers off of our TV and Canadians off of our TV.
You know, you talk so much about homosexuality, JC, that frankly, I wonder a little bit.
Well, how dare you? You are insinuating all forms of insultation, Mr. Bell.
No, it just seems to me, I mean, your calls are just packed full of this.
Excuse me?
I said your calls are just absolutely packed full of this. You know, you protesteth a little much, JC.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Bell. I am trying to save America here. Listen, the boiling pits of sewage, pretty soon those volcanoes, the boiling sewage is going to come up out of volcanoes. Didn't I predict floods and fires and fantastic famines and everything? I called it, didn't I? My predictions always come true, Mr. Bell. And you know that God is talking directly to me, and I'm bringing the new revelation. And when I told God, I said, God, listen, I know you said you aren't going to write another book. This is what people try to attack me with every time.
Hey, wait a minute, Edna. I'm getting a vision. That is to say, JC, of Edna right now. I think she's in a little red sports car. JC, purchased with $10,000 of the Lord's money, and I see a young man right next to her.
Oh no, she took off with a dirty biker.
All right, JC, thanks for the call. We've got a break. How unfortunate. We could have continued with this. See you later, JC. from Manila in the Philippines. I'm definitely fully awake now. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.